Salutan from BA. This is a Rorschach Multilateral Update from the 13th of January 2026, a summary of what's going down in the world's major multilateral institutions. For our first story this week, on Sunday the 11th, lawmakers in the US warned that any US move to take control of Greenland could seriously damage relations with Europe and potentially unravel NATO. They argued that because Greenland is part of Denmark, treaty commitments could force allies into an unwanted confrontation. Some senators pushed legislation aimed at limiting presidential authority to launch such an action. For context, US President Trump has repeatedly said he wants the United States to acquire Greenland for its strategic and economic opportunities. During his presidency, Trump argued that Greenland's geographic position and natural resources are important for U.S. national security. The proposal sparked international attention and criticism and was rejected by Greenland and Denmark, both of which emphasized that the island is not for sale and that its future is decided by its people. More about the U.S., as on Monday the 5th, a special United Nations Security Council session saw some countries speak out against America's recent military action in Venezuela that led to the capture of President Nicolas Maduro. Representatives from Russia, China, and Mexico said that detaining a sitting head of state without international authorization would breach national sovereignty and the UN Charter. They warned that unilateral actions could destabilize the region and undermine the authority of the United Nations. U.S. Ambassador Mike Waltz pushed back, calling the operation a justified law enforcement move, but lots of diplomats warned it could weaken global norms on how nations interact. On a related note to these two stories, on Tuesday the 6th, a Chatham House opinion piece from its international security director argued that recent U.S. talk about taking control of Greenland after its military action in Venezuela could seriously strain NATO, since Greenland belongs to Denmark and is already part of the alliance. The piece urged European governments to be firmer in calling out Washington's behavior, back Denmark and Greenland's right to decide their own future, and consider steps that remind the US that it benefits from allied cooperation. Check out the full piece with the link in the show notes. In some news from Europe, on Friday the 9th, EU countries agreed to move ahead with what would be the bloc's biggest free trade agreement ever with South America's Mercosur group, after more than 25 years of talks. Supporters in places like Germany and Spain say it opens big markets for European goods and helps firms facing US tariffs, while critics led by France fear a surge of cheaper imports that could undercut local farmers. The deal still needs approval from the European Parliament before it can officially take effect. On Friday the 9th, the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries announced that its crude oil production dropped by about 100,000 barrels per day in December, bringing output to around 28 million barrels per day. The fall was mainly due to weaker supply from Iran and Venezuela, which more than offset modest increases from some other members. This drop came even though the group had agreed to raise production for the month, showing that planned output didn't fully materialize. Iran's declines are tied to ongoing export pressures, while Venezuela continues to struggle with its own production issues. Iran may soon see pressure related to its internal protests as well. Speaking of Iran, on Sunday the 11th, UNICEF said it was deeply worried about reports of children and teens being hurt or killed during ongoing unrest in Iran. The agency's regional director urged everyone involved to take steps to keep young people safe from harm, violence, and settings that put their health or freedom at risk. Going back to UN news, on Thursday the 8th, the United Nations Secretary General publicly said he regretted the United States' recent decision to remove itself from dozens of UN and related international bodies. He reiterated that the US still has a legal obligation to pay assessed contributions to the UN's regular and peacekeeping budgets, even as the US shifts away from institutions it says don't align with its priorities. To learn more about the US's withdrawal, check out the Rorschach Malawi update with the link in the show notes. Also on Thursday the 8th, the World Wildlife Fund noted how important it is for countries to work together to protect nature. They said cooperation helps governments match commitments and follow shared rules, which makes it easier for farmers, fishers, and producers to operate fairly and support new technologies. In Africa, on Wednesday the 7th, the International Monetary Fund's Executive Board agreed to extend Benin's financial support programs until the 28th of February 2026. This gives more time for the final assessments of the country's extended fund facility, extended credit facility, and resilience and sustainability facility arrangements, and helps set up future engagement between Benin and the fund. Still in Africa, on Tuesday the 6th, Madagascar told the World Trade Organization that it has started a safeguard probe into certain imported goods after seeing rising imports that could be hurting local producers. The move means that the country's authorities will investigate whether temporarily limiting those imports is justified under global trade rules. Interested parties now have time to submit their views as part of the review. On Wednesday the 7th, the World Health Organization put out new guidance on how doctors and health systems should treat and manage HIV. The update reflects the latest evidence on antiretroviral drugs, ways to cut transmission from mothers to babies, and better options to prevent tuberculosis for people living with HIV. In more health news, on Saturday the 10th, the Pan American Health Organization warned countries in the Americas to be ready as both seasonal influenza and respiratory syncytial virus are spreading at the same time, which could put extra strain on hospitals and clinics through the rest of winter. Vaccination for priority groups and updated health services will respond to any surge in infections. Seasonal influenza is a contagious respiratory illness caused by influenza viruses that circulate each year. They tend to circulate especially in fall and winter, leading to symptoms such as fever, cough, body aches, and fatigue. Respiratory syncytial virus is another common respiratory virus that usually causes mild, cold-like symptoms but can be dangerous for infants, older adults, and people with weakened immune systems, sometimes leading to bronchiolitis or pneumonia. In more news from the Americas, on Friday the 9th, the Organization of American States General Secretariat publicly said it was troubled by a group of Honduran lawmakers who met in ways that didn't follow parliamentary rules to block the peaceful transfer of power after an election. The statement also condemned violent scenes in Congress that left a representative badly hurt. The organization rejected actions against electoral officials tied to the Attorney General's involvement and pointed out that independent observers, including those from the EU, affirmed that the election reflected the voters' choice. In Asia, on Thursday the 8th, the Philippines formally stepped into its role as chair of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations and signaled it wants the regional bloc front and center as tensions continue in the South China Sea. Philippine leaders said the chairmanship gives the country a chance to shape discussions, set priorities, and push for a more unified approach on security and diplomacy. With major powers closely watching, the Philippines plans to use its year leading the group to host key meetings, manage competing interests, and reinforce the organization's relevance in handling regional disputes. Finishing off this edition on Tuesday the 6th, the United Nations' Food and Agriculture Organization unveiled a three-year plan running from 2026 to 2028 to support Ukraine's farming sector amid the ongoing war. The strategy links immediate help like seeds, tools, and cash with steps to rebuild productive land, especially in frontline areas where explosive remnants make farming dangerous, and to support longer-term recovery. And that's it for this week. Thank you for joining us. Quick question, is there a specific monopoly you think is a big problem? Let us know at info@rorschach.com. See you next week.